It's so good. Do y'all care if I leave Winston down here?
No,
He's so happy to leave.
Don't say it's beach
He's a Maltese. Yeah.
Maltese.
I'm gonna text LB and tell her that he's with us.
He can come sit right here.
If y'all will just make sure he doesn't go out the door.
That'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so happy. He's like, people. All right. I'm gonna pass this around for prayer requests. Thank you for the people that put your emails. If it's possible, if you put your email and you're not getting it, will you put it again, but with your name, like just your first name and last name, or even your first name, because I have to put a name in. So, and any prayer requests, we pray over these. So we'll start this way. And would somebody like to open us in prayer? Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. And we are on God's discipline, right?
God's, yes, obedience. Today, okay. Chapter 4, week 4, obedience.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you that you are omniscient, that you're just omnipresent. We just praise you that you're full of grace and love and mercy for us, and that every day is a new start, mm-hmm. new beginning. We rest, Lord, today, right now in Bible study, in your peace. Just ask that your Holy Spirit will speak through Kay and through everyone else as we share our hearts. Just ask that your presence will be here, Lord, with us, and that you would just give us peace and give us hope in you and in your word, Lord, for you're holy and you deserve our praise. We thank you for this opportunity to slow down and to share your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. And this lesson is all about peace. Okay, so look at us. Like, I don't think I have glasses, but I do. All right. So today we're on lesson 4, week 4. And this week is called God's Merciful Discipline, which is, it sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? It's such a gift, though. Okay. So would someone like to read the first little thing on Do We Desire to Know God? That's on page, what is up? Why don't they just put the page numbers on every page? It's on page 30.
I'll read it.
Thanks.
If we truly desire to know God, two things follow. First, we must recognize how much we lack knowledge of God. We must learn to measure ourselves not by our knowledge about God, not by our gifts and responsibilities in the church, but by how we pray and what goes on in our hearts. Many of us have no idea how impoverished we are at this level. Let us ask the Lord to show us. Second, we must seek the Savior. When he was on earth, he invited ordinary people to company with him. Thus they came to know him, and in knowing him, to know his Father. The Old Testament records pre-incarnate manifestations of the Lord Jesus doing the same thing, companying with men and women in character as the angel of the Lord, in order that they might know him. The Lord Jesus Christ is now absent from us in body, but spiritually, it makes no difference. Still, we may find and know God through seeking and finding Jesus' company. It is those who have sought the Lord Jesus till they have found him. For the promise is that when we seek him with all of our hearts, we shall surely find him. Who can stand before the world to testify that they have known God?
Which is so beautiful. And I mean, you could just even sit in this and go, you know, there's just so many little nuggets. And one of them is his name is Emmanuel. So it's in seeking him. It's not like you have to leave to go find him. It's receiving him because he's in you. Okay. Emmanuel. And we're going to talk about that name, I'm pretty sure, even in here. So, of course, I could have been reading it somewhere else. Session 4, you're running your first marathon, and we're going to look at Hebrews 12 right here. But, of course, we're going to go back to 11. You're running your first marathon, and after 13 miles, you're about ready to quit. Has anybody run a marathon in here?
No.
Oh, yeah. Do you feel like you're going to quit?
I did.
Okay,
done.
So you did. Yeah, done at the half. I love it. And who else did? What was it like at 13? Were you like, no, thank you?
At 20, I was like,
yeah. Oh, and you still had like six more? Yeah, 6.2. I love that he adds the point two. Don't forget the point two. I've done book marathons because you don't have to move. You know, I read 26 books in a year.
Yeah.
So I've done a marathon.
Yeah, it's just reading.
I prefer on my couch.
Did you want to quit at 13 books?
Oh, I did. But I kept going.
Oh, way. Gotta go. Amazing.
Okay, so at 13.2 to go. Your legs are aching and your chest is burning and you can't remember why you have even entered this race. How good would it be to stop and lie down and rest to take it easy? Well, when you're doing a book marathon, you can lie down and rest while you're doing it. Then you think of your friends and family who are cheering you on, and you think of your trainer who helped you prepare for this race, and you remember how they have all encouraged you to keep going because it's worth it when you cross the finish line and you keep running. The Christians to whom the letter of Hebrews was written had the same thoughts about the Christian life. They were in danger of weakening in their faith. The writer of Hebrews encouraged them to keep running through the pain because finishing the race would be worth all their struggle. Pause. That is a great metaphor. But the way that it's written, it's even trippy. And welcome to Scripture. Okay, because it will always put in your path things that, like this, we know it. Okay, some of us know what it, some people in here know what it's like to run. And, but the people that don't are like, why would I, you know? And so, because it takes a lot of effort and it physically hurts and it is your effort. You have to get up and you have to go and you have to exercise. All right, here's a little secret about God's race. It's his strength. This is not you. It never is. It's never going to be. It never was intended to be. This metaphor is used, and it's accurate, except for one thing. We instantly take it and make it about our strength, and we take it about pushing, 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 and about people watching, and about people cheering us on. And so please, for today, if you can exit those things out of your mind, just open the invitation that the Lord might be able to speak into these verses, which I know every person in this room has read and heard before. These chapters are very, they're spoken and taught on often, okay? And so just for today, ask the Lord to show you who he is, okay? Like, even when you're tempted to fight and put your knowledge in this, just pause and ask, please let me receive what I'm to receive in this. Please exit my preconceived ideas and my desire to control, my desire to make it about me, you know, fill in the blank. Please just let me see you, because this is one of the mysteries that is so, like, phenomenal and endless and powerful and safe and life-giving. It's the essence of experiencing him. It's the mystery of the universe. It is the absolute essence of faith. In up close and personal, live, in person, the technicolor, three-dimensional. It's so big that it's encompassed in goodness, it's encompassed in hope, and it springs forth a harvest of peace, because it can't not. Okay, so here we go. Question one: when have you especially needed endurance? Whether physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual.
I want to say which time.
Every day. I think I may have written that. I can't imagine answering this in any other way than all the time. Yes. Like, always. And I hope it really is always. Mm-hmm. And I hope that somehow in my vernacular that's in my head on repeat, that's like, yes, stay the course, run the race. You know, endure, that I can back out of those words that are very real a part of this planet. I mean, you got to get up. You've got to walk. You have to study. You know, when you were in school, if you didn't pick up the book, good luck. Yeah, it's not going to happen. I am that person that walked into like a classroom in college and everybody was like, where have you been? Because I just didn't show. And and they were like, do you know we have an exam today? And I was like, what? And I sat at an exam with no knowledge because I hadn't done anything. I was like, wow, this is hard. And so it's very helpful to do those things because you can't not do them. You can't go to work and not work.
Yeah.
You can't. Okay, so however, in this amazing, the life with God, this aspect of not in your own strength is the answer. Okay. And it is very hard to conceive of what that is because there's nothing around us that show that is that. And it's really hard to receive it because it's excruciating. Like, wow, is it the hardest thing ever? It's so hard and wonderful. I've told y'all about the jalapeno chips. Have I told y'all about the potato chips? Back when ET's used to have taste tests. And they had jalapeno potato chips out, and I am telling you, girls, if you have not tried them, and I put one in my mouth, and I'm like, this is the best chip I've ever had, and then it burns, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it is so hot, like it hurt, but it was so delicious, and I'm there because I am weird. I'm sitting there going, well, this is just like faith. It's wonderful and horrible all at the same time, you know, and it really is because it's so great and so horrible, you know, manna provision's the worst and it's the best because it's your provision for today. The small problem is it's your provision for today. And no matter what I in my inside, I want tomorrow, like, and now in our road that we are in, I want yesterday. I want all of that fixed, and I want that good because it's loud, and I need today to be great. And he says it is great. Receive. And I'm going to tell you, as one that has been walking in that for a long, long time, long, 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 long time, and it may be the rest of our lives. The joy is really amazing today, but it's not so amazing when I let tomorrow inform it. And it's not too amazing when I let tomorrow over inform it. You get to respect those. Told you about my little guy in the car when we were driving to school one day, and he goes, do you know why we can't see tomorrow? And he was 10. And I was like, why? Because why would I want to hear? And he said, because you only get to live today. You get today's day. This is it. And when I was driving in, I was like, yes. And I even sat there going, tomorrow I respect, yesterday I respect. It does not get to over-inform this, okay? Even in your prayer life, let yesterday's stuff be yesterday's stuff. Let tomorrow's stuff be tomorrow's stuff. You live today and allow him to inform it because his name is I Am. He's in both of those places as much as he's here right now. All right, so yes, Harry. Me too. Every single day, every minute of every day, I want him. I want my roots because he says that we get to dwell with him. Dwell is always. And your roots are planted beside streams of living water, which means it's drinking it every day. Please help me receive it. Help me receive it today. Chills, chills, because it's true. Holy Spirit, please help us to know the truth of your presence, your power that raised life to never die again. You are light. You are life. And so we just ask you to please help our minds right where we are to engage with your power exactly where we need it. We ask with our hands open. We ask you to open our eyes, for you to open our ears so that you can minister to our inside selves. And that our source will be that living water. How has the faithfulness of other Christian believers motivated and keep you going? I have to tell you, I love this question because I love that we start in Hebrews 12 with a therefore. Okay? Because it's critically important to look at the therefore. Because if you're going therefore, there's something ahead of it. Okay? And so I love this lesson because we love to look at Hebrews 11 and go, look at their faith. Look at their faith. Well, FYI, that chapter is not about their faith. It's about God's faithfulness. Okay? And that's the coolest part. It's God's faithfulness. It's always God's faithfulness. And so what a neat thing to be able to look at, if you're looking at somebody else, to be able to see God's faithfulness first, and then to be able to see the person that received it and is living in it. And therein goes the, wow, can we celebrate his steadfastness, his peace, his love, his provision, his protection. And it's real. Yeah, reading.
I just love how God designed the body of Christ for this.
Yes.
He designed the church, capital C church, to do this.
And yes.
Where would we be without it? I mean, you cannot be alone
right.
without a church family.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And also, I think it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but when you've been through something, then you are equipped then to come alongside the next person sure. with that.
Yes.
How beautiful.
Yeah. Which again, it could feel like, well, this is happening to you, so you can share it. What it really is that we've talked about that Japanese art, what's it called?
Kintsugi.
Kintsu. Yeah. It's in those, that the cracks, that it's not the pot going, look at my cracks. It's the pot going, I am so much stronger. And it's revealed. And it is so powerful. And so even in that, like for me, our stuff, I've never been able to speak about it and I can't. And yet I can share about it without any details because it's real. And so it's not like you have to go to every person around you because that's not appropriate. And it's not appropriate for the people next to you. Some stuff people don't need to hear because it's too much. Like it's too much. And we don't need all of that. It's sort of like, I don't know why, but we're watching Grey's Anatomy. Because it's entertaining, I guess, and my kids are young adults and they love it. Well, we watch it while we're eating, and it is really not a good show to watch while we're eating. I mean, it's so gross. And then they make gross sounds along with the grossness of what you're watching. And I'm like, this is not right. And I sort of feel that same way. There are some things that for people, it's like even if you have cancer, you have stage 1 cancer versus stage 4 metastasized cancer, which is the same issue, but very different. And the stage 4 metastasized has a smaller, has a specialized group because those are the people, because some of that stuff is too much. It's too much. And it's not too much for the person living it. And the Lord equips the people around to be able to walk that. But it is a lot different than a stage 1 it's a different story. It's the same issue. It's just different. Okay, so please hear that for what it's worth. Have the people around you. Please never walk in silence. Don't do it. But there are times that it's a little more intense. And you cannot do this by yourself, which is what Reedy is saying. The church is around you for a reason. And it can be your physical church, but this is church, and that's what Reedy's saying is people. All right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I love this question too, and I was thinking there's a lot of times at church where I think we could just walk in and not say anything.
Yes.
We don't need a sermon. We don't need, but if I can just look at the saints around me who are, I know, have gone through struggles, and they dust themselves off and they limp into church to come and worship their king.
Yes.
And there's times where I don't feel like I can even participate in worship, like if the burden is too heavy, but I just stand there.
And you hear.
And you just hear. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what this is about.
I do too.
Is that we just keep showing up.
Yes.
We just keep hiding our tired, worn out selves.
Yes. Yes.
To worship.
Yes.
And just sitting next to somebody.
Yes.
Could be the sermon they need to hear. That.
It is. It is a body that's there, that is connected. Because he's connected. He's connected. Good luck being disconnected. I mean, it's sort of laughable. Yeah. You're connected, like embedded, like you're grafted in. It's a. It is. It's so yes.
Something about this also reminded me of just teammates and suffering along with somebody.
Yes.
I mean, everybody's going through something. And
yes.
Knowing that somebody else is suffering with you,
yes.
but encouraging your teammate alongside of you
so
is
true.
Helpful.
So helpful.
And that encourages me to continue to be faithful, watching my teammate being faithful.
Yeah. And it is a thing together because a lot of the reason your teammate can be faithful is because of the connected faithfulness. Mm-hmm. The source being the one who is ever faithful. And he put us on this planet together. It wasn't by accident. And he were created in his image. Yeah.
I like the verse, yes. Proverbs 17, okay. 17, 17. Sorry. Just let iron sharpen iron as one man sharpens another. And I think we're called to that as the body of Christ, the people loving on each other, just encouraging each other and, you know, helping each other through those hard times. I just think that verse just sums it up. We're sharpening each other.
Yeah.
It's that sanctification process. And we're working together as one body to become more like Christ. And she's the hand and I'm the foot and she's the leg and she's the head and she's the heart. And we need each other. We have to have each other.
Yeah.
You know, the way he describes it like that, he's created us for community.
Yes.
And that's how we grow in that sanctification, is the way that we sharpen each other.
Yeah. It's so good. Yes.
How do you encourage someone though who's been hurt by the church? Because I know people who have.
Oh, I live with people that have.
Yeah. And then they're real anti because of it.
Right.
And it's so.
What they're anti though. So one thing, from my experience, because I do live with that, and I have asked those ones that are hurt by the church to at least seek God. Just go ask, but don't go ask with the answers. Oh, hold on one second. I am so sorry, but my parents had a bad go. Hi, Jane. I'm good. Do you?
Her mom fell.
Oh, you know what? They're in her purse.
Sorry.
For sure. Do you mind taking him in your car? I'm so sorry. Yes, I think so. I do think
she
so.
Does. She broke her nose.
So I think that's great.
She's 84.
That'd be great.
That makes me.
Yes, hurt. I think you'll be fine. I am so sorry, Jane. Okay. That sounds great. Okay, keep me posted. Thank you, Jane. Say that again. Yes, Scott and I'm going to send you the address right now. Okay, thank you, Jane. Okay, bye. Sorry, my mom had a fall this morning. And my dad has therapy this morning, and they have helped him. Anyway, whatever. So I'm going to send this. So the one thing is that if someone can seek without an answer, not letting the hurt lead, and know that it's religion that has hurt them.
Yeah.
It's not, okay, and just even leave it at that. It is religion that's hurt people. It's people.
Okay. Yeah, they're people. It's not God.
It isn't, but it's hard. I have noticed that it's very hard for mine to even hear it's not God. And yeah, I'm sort of like, just please don't go with an answer.
Yeah.
If at all possible, you know, and then just love them.
Right.
Just love them, see them, love them. Whatever fear you have, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. The creator knows who he has created. Mm-hmm. And we're his. And can I trust that? Which is the beautiful thing of walking along someone that's been hurt. Because it'll actually bring into the light the ways that you've been hurt. Mm-hmm. Or what you've believed. Or fears that you've had that you need something to look this way in order. Because it's like, oh yes, when good things happen, then I'm doing it right. Well done. And it's sort of like, wait a second, you're a child of God. Like you're his child. And so it's like, to be able to let someone ask questions, to be able to allow the hurt to be, because everybody's been hurt, because it is people. And then to be able to allow the Lord, just seek God, and to be able to say, I don't know, but I know that God loves you. I remember telling one of my kids, like, he sees you, he knows you, but, you know, and I'm like, I'm listening to myself going, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this is so stupid. And then I was like, stop it. I mean, the conversations you have with yourself. And I was like, just let the words of the Lord be the words of the Lord. Get out of it, say it, and walk away. Because these seeds that he talks about are the harvest. His word never falls to the ground. So even the word that someone has received in a church that has not possibly been super kind, the word of the Lord is still the seed. And it can't not harvest because it's his word. And I don't know if it's here. And I don't know if it's in eternity. Yes, absolutely none of my business. Mm-hmm. But my business is the person next to me who matters. Mm-hmm. And so I love you. And I learned very quickly to exit the vernacular that is always, you know, I do. If I'm over-spiritualizing jalapeno chips, let me just say I'm offensive to every person around me. And so I really had to stop.
Yeah.
And I had to quit using words and trusting God. Okay? I don't know if that's helpful. Yeah. So, okay, put something in the back.
I was just going to say, I love the, to dovetail on your discussion about time, how he's yesterday, today, tomorrow. I appreciate how the Bible talking about the cloud of witnesses. And then we have, like Marion said, we have the people around us that are also witnessing to it. And I love the gap that's in between, like when we did that study on the saints. And just the book that's filled with all of the stories, and you read that, and you're just like, I can do today. I can do today because of all of this cloud that's around us,
yes.
Before us. That
comes, yes,
you know.
Yes, because the witness, the word witness, and we're going to get in there. We can hear witness as someone's looking at me, mm-hmm. or we can hear witness as someone who's giving testimony. They're very different. It's the same word. Majorly different. If I'm receiving it as someone looking at me, wowzer. Which is seems like if you're looking at a race, you're cheering somebody on, you're looking at them. Okay? It's very easy to take it that way. Yet the testimony is pointing back to Hebrews 11, which is an unequivocal, undeniable, surpassable, just bam, 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 bam of God's faithfulness through people that are damaged. Doesn't he start with Abraham?
To go back to 11, to chapter 11, and take each one of those.
Yes.
It's a lot of them I didn't
know. That's what we did in a study one year. Yes, and it was so fun.
So
we called it the Faith Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah.
And it was such a blast because it was almost instant going, I thought this was about the people and how I'm supposed to act. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. This is all about God. Yes. It is so fun. Please do it. You can, it's so fun. Go back to the stories. It's a blast.
But it also recontextualizes your own place of not seeing. Because faith is not seeing. Like that's embedded in the definition of faith.
Yes.
So we forget that.
We
keep saying we got to see it. We want to know it.
We do. It's like, we want it so badly. It's just,
exactly.
And the coolest thing is he knows. He knows. He knows, and he will let you see when you need to see.
He loved and called and brought in, and just like you. So
there's
something about that makes you go, I get it.
Yes,
I'll be okay.
So it is. It's the crowd. That's the crowd of witnesses. They're going, God, like, let me tell you something. He's so good. He's not going to drop you. Wait a second. You're 100, and he told you were having a baby, and you didn't believe him, and you laughed. He doesn't leave you. His promise is happening. And it's like you go through the liturgy, all of it. Yes, and again, chills, because he can't not do what he said.
And I think if you go back to your own hall of faith, look
at
your own life, and go back and say, where did he show up?
Yes.
Where
is
that?
And there again, this community that you have with you.
Amazing.
Yes. And you say it to your people next to you when they're dying. And you go, do you remember? It's like, let me remind you. Let me tell you. Even like earlier this morning, this is this. Because we are quick to. It's just so hard to breathe on this planet sometimes. It's so hard. It is. Yeah, reading.
I love the phrase, stones of remembrance.
Yeah. Say it again.
Stones of remembrance.
Stones of remembrance.
And in the Old Testament, after they crossed the Jordan, they put the stones there, and God told them, when your children come back and ask
tell
them, a pile of stones,
you
tell them. Yes.
Yep. Yes, and that was like a take two of the water being stopped, where they could literally go through a body of water. And so it's like this wasn't one and done. The molecules obey him. You know, and then you'll see him walking on it later. It's like, everything seen and unseen bows in his presence. And I loved when we did the names of God because it is so unbelievably powerful. His name is the Lord of hosts, okay? Which means everything. 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 Okay, we are never going to get through that. But it really is encouraging. I love you.
Me, I'm like,
hey, all right, so. Yeah. Okay. And then I'm like, please let this be the right address.
Yeah.
Thankfully, my brother is in town. I was like, are you
here?
Are you in town? I know, my mother. So anyway, she would hate that anybody would know. But if you saw her, her nose is broken for sure. And she, oh, not for my mom.
Really?
She's like, well, this was a good fall.
Oh,
I'm like, mom, she's really? Like, okay. I was like, so hey, cool. FYI, your body's 85, you know, or 84. And I'm like, it's not going the same way your mind is.
Oh, right.
You know, I'm like, could you give it a little respect and go, I can't do everything?
Yeah.
I don't, but she's like, no, this was a good fall. I know. And she's so sweet. I love her so much. Wow. She's just so, she's the best. Anyway, what a privilege. All right, so should we read Hebrews 12?
Yes, let's do it.
Who'd like to?
I will. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. Mm-hmm. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
So good. All right, question, and there's a lot in this. I'm going to hold my tongue, because starting at the beginning, therefore, okay, and throw off everything that hinders, thoughts, assumptions, expectations, whatever is going to like trip you up, because it is easy. And then let's fix our eyes, focus, and realize that he sat down. All right. He is not standing, he's sitting, because it's done. All right. And this discipline is love. It's okay. So, therefore, question one, therefore, at the beginning of the passage refers to the role of people of faith in Hebrews 11. They are the great cloud of witnesses. Shall we just look at one, or do you, or are you, I mean, we don't have just the most time, but would you please go back and take the time to look at Hebrews 11, because it begins with this beautiful passage about faith. Sorry, because it's about being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And I mean, if the Lord isn't a part of that, I don't know how you can get to that place. And he never leaves us alone, and he never leaves us to ourselves. And all of this is literally for us. It's for you. It's for me. And it's for us together. Okay? So Hebrews. Come on, my friend. Hebrews 11. Now, as faith is the assurance of things hoped for the convictions of things not seen. For it is For by it the people of old received their commendation. Did they do it? They received it. Okay? By faith we understood that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Which is the biggest testimony to him just from the get-go. He created something from nothing. And may that speak into me. And he starts, even by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. And that came from a heart saying, this is yours, okay? Versus, I have to do this in order to be approved by you. Which is why I think he's so clear about going to our hearts, to the inside self, okay? And keeping that focus. And then he goes through, like we get to see about Abraham, and we get to see Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark by the saving of his household. Who is the one that was the orchestrator of that? Who is the one that saved them? Was it Noah? No, it was Noah's hands through which God worked, okay? Because he revealed it. And here's the beautiful thing about, like, obedience. It's like you're acting, you're moving, you're walking in it. Even the discipline that he brings to us, it's to draw us closer to him and away from the things that we allow to inform our identity. So, what kind of life did these people inspire us to live?
Life of faith.
A life of faith.
Listening.
Listening. Okay, because even with Noah, it says he listened and obeyed. I think it says that like three times.
We can't obey.
Huh?
We don't listen. We can't.
No. No, you're just wondering. Mm-hmm. And so there's an element of hearing him. Mm-hmm. And he meets us where we are, even if we doubt. Gideon, mighty warrior. Well, let me tell you, someone that did not think they were a mighty warrior was Gideon. And he's like, no, but he was the only person there. So it had to be him. You know, that kind of thing. And Noah. He heard him, and it says, and he obeyed, and he obeyed, and he obeyed. Mm-hmm. Abraham, he listened, and he obeyed, and went, and fumbled around, because he's a human being, okay?
And I think that's tricky in the Christian life, to really learn to hear the voice of the Lord.
It is hard, isn't it?
I was explaining it to my 15-year-old, like, you know what abide means? They use the word abide in church, and I'm like, no, not really.
Yeah.
We had a pact of like 20 minutes, and he still was like, okay.
I mean, it's so true. And there you sit there and go, that word isn't my word. Mm-hmm. That's God's word, mm-hmm. and it's his business, so I will say the words, mm-hmm. and then let God do what he's going to do. Yeah, so. Help me to trust that you do what you do with your word. Mm-hmm. And then you sit there going, oh, you definitely do what you're going to do with your word. And then may it speak to even you as you say it. Because there are so many places I go. I mean, how we've talked about abide so much. It's hard, yeah. because you're not doing anything, but you're doing something.
Yeah. At the same time.
Yeah. What does that even mean? I mean,
does it mean like verse 6, my translation says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. That, I don't know what yours says,
okay.
but that can get into performance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kind of tricky, like,
yes. Yes.
I think it just being open and showing up and saying, okay, God.
Yes.
Help me.
Yes, it's a challenge, and those are there for a reason. And please let it trip you, because even in that, when you go ooh, and you're like, yeah, I knew that's how it worked, because everything I know in my life works like that. And then you go, but wait a second, it's a gift of God. It's grace, and so. If I'm reading it that I have to do this in order to please him, then I'm making it about actions, okay? So if you can start unraveling it, or maybe you can't, and just park it and go, I don't understand this in light of who you are, and let it sit, and ask him, please show me what you mean by that. Please show me what this is. Go read different translations and go, am I tripped up over these words the way that they're written here? I don't know, except I know something's hitting me at the core. And go to him. I feel like I have to do something in order to be okay with you. How does that fit with the cross? Mm-hmm. And it does not. All right? And so what am I believing? Please free me from that. And let me just ask you, as a person, whether you have children or you don't have children, even if it's your friend, even for yourself, what makes you the happiest for them? Like when they're actually, when you're, well, like even for your kid, if he had listened to you and gone, oh, abide, it means connected together. You're like, yes. And you're not like, yes, you smart person. It's like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, breathe, 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 okay? And that is the essence, because it's such joy for him. For however long that we experience his goodness, it's got to be him going, uh-huh. And he knows us well enough to go, here's a little more. Here's a little more. Because his goodness is so good that we would die. Like, we would not be able to breathe in his presence. How do we know that's true? See also Moses in the cleft where the Lord had to cover him so his goodness could pass before him. Mm-hmm. It's his goodness that passed before him. And so even he controls the spigot. But it's like this, it's a breathing thing. And of course it makes him happy. And of course, because he is grieved. We saw Jesus crying over literally the city going, oh, the sadness, because they had so put religion ahead of the relationship with him. And it makes him sad because we're miserable and he loves you. Mm-hmm. He just does. And so when the thing that is the joyful part is that connection and going, this is what you were created for. We're me. I want you to experience me. Him. The goodness is so good. He is so good. He can't not share his goodness. That's how good he is. And you get the inside goodness through faith. Yeah, read.
My friend always says she's so grateful that God put in scripture the man who said, I believe, come on, and believe.
I do it all the time.
She's
yep.
like, that is where I am so much of the time.
So all the time.
I know I believe, but.
But I don't. I know. And did he leave that person? No. Oh, FYI, he did not. When the rich young ruler was like, I can't do it. It says, and he looked on him with love. Okay? Even in the Cain and Abel story, was he exited the Lord? No. He was right next to him. In the garden, when they leaned into their own sight and their own wisdom and their own eyes, was he gone? Did he leave them?
He came to them.
He was never away from them. They're his. The prodigal son, did he ever stop being his son? Mm-hmm. No. Okay? And so it's this, ask him, go to him, say it, I don't believe. Please help me in my unbelief. Oh my gosh, the amount I've prayed that. And help me receive is really my latest. Please help me receive. I think I have trouble with that. And I want to know. Open my ears, open my eyes, help me hear, because I can't hear. I see too much of what I'm looking at. Help me see. And then you'll see the people that are next to you that are hurting you. I mean, it's like, oh, and help me obey. Okay. Help me act. And and I don't need to see the outcome, but if I can, I'd love to see it. Help me trust you enough to know that you're going to show me behind the veil when I need it. Help me to be able to sit not knowing, because that's increasing my faith. Okay? Mm-hmm. So good. Anything else on this? All right. 36. Page 36. In the dominant culture in which the original readers lived, runners and races shed everything that would hinder them. Doesn't it remind you at the doctor's office where you have to get on a scale?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. I must be on my shoes.
You know, it's like they probably weigh 2 ounces.
Yeah. I'm not looking. Well, at least some of us do that. The people that do book marathons do that. Oh, gosh. Okay. Both excess weight and extra are loose-fitting garments. In fact, the Greek custom was for runners to...
I think that's hilarious. We would watch them run naked.
So bad. Yeah. Every part of that is a no thank you.
That is shield your eyes.
Yeah,
there's no audience for that one.
No.
God bless them. The Rider Pictures, a stadium filled with people who have already run the race. The spectators, but they're probably close. The spectators are cheering on those who are still running for the finish line. Believers are told to fix their eyes on Jesus as they run the race marked out for us. What are some practical ways to do this? It's the key. What are some practical ways?
Pray.
Pray. Yes. Pray. Okay? Communion. Say it. Come. Okay? It's beautiful. One of the prayers that are even the most helpful, I think, are the blessing prayers, where you're calling out the Lord's blessing and living it and receiving it. Okay? What else?
I said writing down the ways that he has shown up to remind me that he has cared.
So good. Yes, which is what Beth was talking about. Like,
I
your
can
own.
Forget, like, in the...
And the people that show up for you.
No, yeah, good one.
I think that is, you know, so important to go back and be thankful that this person showed up at this time.
Yeah.
And something happened that was consequential.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Thank you.
Person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a space journal, and I write that down, and then when God leads you, you have to write it.
Yeah, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it helps you see it. Yeah, so good.
I think I put means of grace for three different questions, maybe. Scripture, worship, prayer, fellowship, and sacraments.
Yes.
And God ordained all of those for us to live in His presence.
Yes.
And when we're not participating in those five things, then we shouldn't expect to believe on it.
Yeah, they're very helpful, and they're there for a reason. Because he knows you. Like, he knows it all. And it's like, here are some things that help you. And engaging with those is very helpful.
Well,
anybody else?
I was just going to say, a lot of times I'll put on worship music.
Music
is very
so
helpful.
Much to shift your gaze.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's very helpful.
It changes your brain sometimes. Like, really, like, you turn me down and it can really just lift you up.
Yeah, it does.
I can be thinking about everything going on that I need to, and then I just put on the worship music. It just... totally changes your
it
perspective.
Helps. Yeah, perspective
fills
is key.
You with peace and joy and love.
So true. Yeah, Tracy.
For me, sometimes it's worship music, but sometimes it's just turning the radio off. Because I mean, it's the distractions that keep
it just is.
My eyes on Jesus. So if I don't have anything, well, then I'll start praying more, and that's my
It's really good.
I
these are great
mom.
Tips.
I become my mom turning off the radio.
What? I get in my parents' car and I'm like, do you listen to anything? I'm like, what? It's always off. And I'm like, y'all listen to anything? But you're right. It's so helpful. This is great. Anybody else?
Nature.
Oh,
yeah. But you also have to, like, pick your mind,
Yeah.
You can go through any of this and just be
rolling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's helpful to look. Getting out in nature is very helpful
because
you get to see. Yeah.
Reading the four Gospels, you're seeing Jesus himself.
Yes, so true. And I would say the Old Testament too.
Yeah, well, sure.
Get your highlighter. I have some extra highlighters if anybody wants and highlight God's words. It's so fun. But yes, this part of being able to go, who are you? To be able to read scripture and keep a list of, like, this is who he is. This is who he is, you know, because I think our tendency, we've been groomed to read the Bible of what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, take a break, read it to know him, you know, have that be accompanying it. It's very helpful. And that's what I think you're saying, Reedy, is seeing him. Yeah.
I think also intention and expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I try to wake up and first thing I do is try to think about what my purpose is. Mm-hmm. So that I know how I want to the person I want to be throughout the day, but then also to have an expectation of actually seeing them.
I love that. Isn't that fun?
It is.
And he's amazing. Like, just amazing. It's really so cool. This is so good. Yeah, Beth.
I grew up with hymns all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, we see that constantly in our church. And those words were in me as a small child. But the truth of them often didn't even come to me until later.
Yeah.
But I still find that music, if I
I'm on a bike ride or wherever, yeah. and I'm listening to great music, like Christian music, and that has a, it's usually just scripture or things yeah. like that. There's a different channel in my brain for music. And yeah. so sometimes I'll wake up with those things going through my mind. And
yeah.
there's not a better way, in my opinion, to wake up at night
yeah.
or even in the morning
yeah.
with that. And it's like you don't know how subconsciously that's been planted,
yeah.
but it's
yeah.
like it's a way to kind of overlay, you know,
yeah.
even reading scripture and going to
yeah.
church, all of that.
It
you
is.
Know? Because it's a different language.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. A lot of people have a similar experience with gardening, like
yes.
having their hands in the earth,
yeah.
mm-hmm. that there's something very, like, that it helps.
Helpful.
A lot of people cooking is very helpful because you're making something from, you know, a different something comes out of, I don't know, it's engaging with creation.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I think thankfulness is another great one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're stuck,
yeah.
and we talked about that last week, start calling it out. Exactly what you're thankful for. And it goes back to a perspective issue, where your thoughts are, where your mind is, and it's so powerful. The metaphor changes at verse 5. What do athletic training and parental discipline have in common? What do athletic training and parental discipline have in common?
Daily.
Consistent.
Encouragement.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the daily training, you're getting more stamina, okay? All right. I do think in parental discipline, love is a key.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
Love. Why should God's discipline encourage us rather than dishearten us?
Because it means we're his.
You are his. And we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, we don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about something we don't believe is that we're loved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can back it out. And I remember my dad telling me, I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm like, well, quit loving me.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
There was a little like, that's the most ridiculous thing
yeah.
I've heard. But
yeah.
it stick, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the difference between God disciplining and my dad does, he did love me. Let me tell you something. And my mom, too. Just like I love the people next to me, but mine is imperfect. And I remember telling him, like, you obey me because you have to. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, I love you. But hello, I know it's not perfect because I'm about to look at you in a really bad way. You know, I'll give them a glare that maybe I'm aware of, maybe I'm not, maybe I mean it, maybe I don't. But whatever, it for sure will be taken the wrong way. I can say something really nice and it's taken the wrong way. I'm like, how? What? Like, why? What in the world? But the difference between God and this love that we have that is a, as with most most descriptors or stories, they can only go so far because they involve us.
Right.
They involve people.
Yeah.
But taken to the degree of the one who is disciplining, who is perfect, whose love is steadfast,
mm-hmm.
whose love is relentless, who does all of it for us,
mm-hmm.
wow, that's hard to receive.
Yeah.
That is a bear to receive.
A big thing for me, I said, is because it means he wants good things for me.
Yes.
Because I always see it as, and I see it through negative lenses.
Right, like he's disappointed. That's the world, okay? Never with him.
I know. So
okay?
I have to believe. Yeah, and that's, so that's even
hard.
What it says. It says for our good. I mean,
yes.
And it's, and, but then it helps me now as a parent. I mean, yes, I do discipline sometimes out of my own selfishness.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're annoying,
I'm
please
tired.
Stop.
Right.
You know, because I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
But then other times, if I'm in the right place, I'm doing it for their long term. It's for their end goal.
Yes.
Not, you know, that's how God always is. Because he's
always
not sinful like me. You know, I don't
right.
do things out of my, I will discipline because what I want. But a lot of times. But
he
doesn't do that. He
never.
Disciplines for our
your
good. And so it's.
Mm-hmm. And it will always be tailored to you.
Right.
And he sees everything. He sees the big picture.
Yeah.
And
so,
we know that to be true through scripture. That's one very helpful thing about scripture is you actually get to see that he does know what's going to happen before it happens. He's so kind. He tells them over and over and over. He's very gentle. It's
yeah.
like we live in the spinning wheel, you know. We talked about there's control, alt, delete, which
yeah.
is like a warm reboot.
Yeah.
And then there is a off, on. And he will do that as in the for us.
Yeah.
Because he sees it all. What were you going to say?
I was going to say something really similar. In this
like a side other than reading the scripture passage. I said, how do we know if it's discipline or just plain hardship? And then after reading, I just wrote, we just should treat it all as discipline.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in our culture, we're so quick to blame transactional. I'm trying to figure out if I do this, then I'll get that. And so because it doesn't
exactly
that,
right, right, right.
Stuff.
So good.
And I just love that. I even looked at Bible Hub to see, is there another word other than discipline?
Yeah.
Some other translation. And it's all discipline.
Yes. Like, okay. And so then you sit going, what am I hearing? Because if I'm hearing something like, shaming, if I'm hearing, oh, you're less than, you need to be better, or this is corrective because you're doing it wrong, then I'm putting into it my story of how I live in this economy. Because it is the world.
Along with what you were saying, I wrote down, hardships, can be illnesses. Like cancer,
absolutely.
In many cases, then how is that discipline?
Yeah, I know.
But that's where we, okay, so yes. And then you
whenever
go.
She starts with that, I know I'm off.
No.
She's like, that's true.
No, it's exactly it. And that's where you sit there and go, well, if it's both discipline, I'm hearing discipline in a way that isn't exactly accurate because it is that. Yes. And if you go, if this is for me, it's actually freeing me from things that I'm believing that aren't true.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to say this because what you just said there, like this aha moment. Mm-hmm. Because when I was diagnosed with the cancer that they said they couldn't eradicate, however, it seems to be gone for 14 years.
Praise God.
It was freeing. Freeing. Yeah.
Okay. And you would go, that does not make sense, right?
No.
All right.
And there was a type of discipline in that process.
Absolutely.
Not. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for bringing that home.
But do you know what? Okay. So there it's like, this is good.
Well, what he wrote in this box at the top, what I underlined is that sometimes we won't get things unless we go through that. Like that's part of the, it says,
the things that you're
he getting. May well be saying something extremely important to us through our troubles that we could not or would not easily receive.
Exactly.
If things were going okay.
Right.
So that's how we can see it, whether he's allowing the fallen world, but he will use it to teach and guide us or get us to a place that you have your freedom that you wouldn't have gotten had it not occurred.
Okay. Well, in the word discipline, I think we bring our we bring our negative interpretation to that word.
Right.
And it's not what God means at all.
To teach. To teach. To teach.
That he disciplined us so that we may share in his holiness is like too big even to comprehend. It's so personal.
It's so deeply personal.
We share in his holiness.
And intimate.
The way he made us in his image.
Yes.
And he wants us to be more of that.
Yes.
He's saying, I want you to be more you than I've made you be. And that's so incredible. Why would we not go for that?
Yeah.
I don't know, because we don't want to be Job. I mean, it's just But the Job would be, FYI, one of these five witnesses going, you have no idea. He's like, who am I? Do you remember at the end? Who am I that you would show me who you are?
Yes.
Okay? And Job was the first one. God bless, because even the Lord watched him fully engaging in every single spiritual activity, religious activity, to somehow make him okay in the presence of the Lord. So much so, he was doing it for all his children. The book opens, ladies, with him offering sacrifices for his children. Do you think he was hook, line, and sinker to that? Do you think that Job was completely attached to I must in order to be? He was. And even in Job 4, one time the Lord showed me this, that his first friend that speaks out says, is not the fear of the Lord your confidence? Okay, is not the fear of the Lord your strength? And the hope, like The integrity of your ways, your hope. Okay.
Wow.
I know, Michelle. And I was like, oh my gosh. How have I read this book so many times and not seen that little nugget? And I was like, you were setting him free. You were setting him free from, have you considered my servant Job? Are you joking me? Because awesome. The integrity of your ways being your hope is a sick prison.
Yeah,
it is. It is endless. It's a treadmill to nowhere.
Yeah.
It so is true. The spinning wheel. Spin. This amazing person gifted with wisdom that people came, because even in that he said, everyone comes to you for wisdom. Mm-hmm. Everyone comes and you share, because he loved people and he told everyone about God. The small problem was, is he was tethered to performance.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's like, not anymore, mm-hmm. because I'm about to free you from this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, if he had used the word teach, we all are saying, okay, we don't like discipline, that word. If he said, let me teach you something, we might not show up for class. Right? And the discipline wakes us up.
It did. It woke Job up.
The hard times wakes you
and
up.
He struggled going, I don't understand, saying to his friends, I haven't done anything. It's not me. Mm-hmm. And then him going, whatever it is of me, I've gone and I've like gone and said it is me, you know? And he's like, you're not listening. I didn't do anything. Like, and then that wrestling, and the Lord is like, all the way at the end going, and now I will tell you who I am. And we have the glory of being able to read God speaking for four chapters. Do you want to know who I am? This is who I am. And he goes into every issue. Yeah. And the Leviathan, who is the evil one, he treats him like putting a little hook in his nose. Like that's how there's no strength that is above the Lord. There's none. And it's so beautiful. So yes, it is for our good. And it's so good. It's so good. It's so good. How kind is he that he would not leave us to ourselves? Okay? So yes, it's beautiful. And here's the deal with God's discipline. It is safe. It's safe.
And it's part of his plan. In his word,
and he loves you. He will always do it. Oh, the whole all the prophets.
Yeah.
They're saying, FYI, this is going to happen. And the coolest thing about the Lord, he writes, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cyrus, my servant. And these aren't people that are seeking after him.
Mm-hmm. He's right underneath here.
Little Winnie.
Right underneath your stool.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Does it say 10 something? 10:52?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we just continue to ask you to show us, because we want to know. Believers are told, we've talked about that one, the metaphor change, we've talked about that one. Why should God's, that's where we were, God's discipline encourage us rather than dishearten us? He's always lifting you up. His eyes are on you. He wants light and life for you. He reboots us, or sometimes hard, sometimes a soft reboot. It is his steadfast love, all right? He always is with you. He always protects you, and he always provides. He can't be counter to his character, okay? And that's where the safety comes. If you can go, and you can, whatever comes your way, may the blessings and the goodness have an equal place in your world as the suffering does, okay? Because you get to learn. May I learn as much about you and the blessing as I do in the suffering. Let me be as raw and open to you. Not believing the blessings, only believing you. Okay? Not believing some indictment over the sufferings. Whether it's an illness, whether it's a hardship, whether it's sin. Just flat out sin. Sin that I have done or sin that was done to me. All right? Because we live on this planet. We're in the wake of everything. All right? It all is covered by you. Okay? All right. God's sovereign hand is at work as much through life's adversities. Did we talk about this one? Yes. He may. Well, I put he is always saying something extremely important to us through our troubles that we could not or would not easily receive. Yes, we've already talked about that. If believers submit to the Heavenly Father's discipline, how will their lives be different?
We would live in peace.
Peace, that's what I wrote, shalom.
Yeah.
Okay, and he talks about a harvest of peace. Because in the peace, you're choosing him. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing through his lens, through his perspective, instead of mine. And there's always life in that. And the peace is shalom. It's completeness. It's wholeness. It's the coming together of opposites. Okay? It's life.
I think it's interesting the way they worded it. If believers submit to the Heavenly Father's discipline. So in other words, if we accept it.
Yeah, you receive it.
And we're just not so caught up in it. We go instead, yes. Lord, what do you want to teach me through this?
Yes.
And you get to that training part.
It's massive.
Of it.
Yes, because if I'm hearing it as you did something wrong, if I'm going to make discipline about me, I'm going to be like, well, I made something wrong. And then we instinctively are like, no. Like, what about, or you'll see somebody else doing something, and somehow I quit my okayness, like, they're getting all this, why, what's me? Instead of just living and receiving where the Lord has you, always, every day. And the peace comes in that. Because I could look at submit and be like, oh, submit. And it's like, receive.
Yeah. And it can receive make you more prayerful. It can make you rely more on his strength instead of your strength.
I have to get past the anger.
Get the anger to him.
I do. But I have to get, because I'm like, I don't want to do, like,
yeah. And you know what? The more,
yes.
The more, because there's something in that. Ask him why. Why do I get angry? Anger is always fear. I'm just telling you, if you peel back the onion.
It's my lack of control. Because something's happening to me that I didn't get to choose.
Yeah, and then you sit there and go, but, and so you're afraid. I'm just saying, if you've got anger, please peel it. Yeah. Ask him to gently show you the source of that, and you're going to get to a place of fear. I really think that's 100% of the time.
Yeah.
It's 99.999% of the time. And in that fear, again, you're believing something about yourself that's not true. Mm-hmm. And to be able to put his name, whatever the fear is, there is a name that answers that fear. Mm-hmm. Is it provision? Well, Jehovah Jireh has that covered. Mm-hmm. Is it something's going to have victory over someone I care about? Or even myself? Well, there's several. Then Jehovah Nisi, the banner, is stating very loud and clear who the victor is and who are his people. You. Okay? Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Everything seen and unseen bows in his presence. Every cell, every bad person, because I'm just saying, you live on this planet, there are bad things.
Oh, yeah.
There are bad things, okay? They all bow to him.
Yeah.
And so in your head, you envision it, and the fear goes, because you like, and then you call it out. Isaiah 43 is where we sat. I see you. I call you by name. You are mine. I'm not believing it. Help me in my unbelief.
Yeah.
And then you breathe.
Yeah.
And in the breathing, the anger goes bye-bye. Without you even knowing it, you're like, wow, I'm at peace somehow. I'm at peace, and it's a harvest of peace.
Yep. Yeah. And when you walk through the waters, they will not.
They never will. Yes, Elizabeth. And that's in that too. You'll go through the fire, and you won't be burned. Amazing.
Yeah.
You won't even smell like smoke.
Yeah.
Not a single hair is sin.
I know.
Okay. In practical terms, how can believers strengthen themselves and make level paths for their feet? FYI, of course, I had a problem with this question because the Lord is the one who makes level your path. Okay. And maybe that's where he's going. Okay. So how can you get to these places?
Reading and studying the word.
Yes. Okay.
Because he's speaking to you. So therefore he is the one that's going to level the path.
Always.
But you have to understand what he's saying. You have to understand him.
Yes,
and
you
do that
his word. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think, too, in practical terms, like when I start to feel, when I feel anything in my body happening,
so good.
Like if I feel something, my heart start racing, I'm like, something's off.
It's unsettling.
So I'm like, that needs to be like a ding, ding, ding.
It is.
I am believing something wrong.
Yes.
I am putting my hope in something that's not true. And so just listening to my body, and
it's so
because
true. You have it for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's excellent. It's like the fuel gauge.
Mm-hmm.
It's if it's going rah, 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 it's because some fuel's in there that's not really not jiving.
Yeah.
And
ask yourself in those moments, what's going on?
It's
like,
so
what am I believing? What am I, because this is not how the Lord wants me to be.
No.
He wants me to be peaceful.
Yes, because
mm-hmm.
he said, My peace I give to you.
Right.
My peace I leave with you. Yeah. Every time he entered a room after the resurrection, it was peace, peace, peace. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so if I'm unsettled, I love that you do that. I'm a huge fan of that. Where, why?
Why
can't I breathe?
Yeah.
Okay?
Hey, I know
yeah.
you're Tracy.
Hold on.
On that next level path for your feet, I didn't understand that, so I went to the message, and it talked about clear the path, get the obstacles that might trip others up out of the way. So it was talking about us together. You know, mm-hmm. like in my own life, but also something that might trip others up.
Yes. And you even, the stuff that trips you up,
and helping
yeah, I was about to say, it's tripping somebody else. The Me Too part, I mean, everyone in here, I think the reason why we jive, because y'all don't know each other, you know? Like, we live life together in here, but most of us don't. But we can all sit here as one person going, Me Too. Oh, that is so me, you know? We all, like, take our shoes off at the scale. Or whatever.
I don't want to take all of our
clothes off. Apparently, some of us run naked. Whatever.
Agreed.
But I'm just saying. It is such a me too. You are not in this alone. So yes, it's like going because we would go. Oh, there's a hole right there. Don't step in that because we stepped in. And you can say to the person next to you, and I remember telling my kids that, like, when they would get tripped up at different phases of the life where I still do. I'm like, if the person is talking about, like, whatever, what school they're in, somehow that school has their identity. Okay? And so please tell them something about them that you love about them. Not about what they've done. Bye, girls. Mwah. Anything else? I think we're close to the end. I feel like we covered most of it. What did it?
We got. I think the only thing I know, and I love how
we only have one more question.
How you're really big on us doing works, and so with that last question,
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the only thing we do need to do is just turn to the Lord.
Yeah,
like He does it all, but we have to be will like. I mean, he can knock us up. He can knock us out and take over our life.
He will knock you out.
But sometimes we do have to be like, help me, help me. And then he will make, I guess, right?
He will always do it.
Yeah.
This is the deal. He's always doing it. He can't not. He can't be counter to his goodness. He can't be counter to his steadfast love. Okay? He can't be counter to Elohim. He can't be counter to Emmanuel, which is God with me, with Elohim attached to it. And Elohim is the creator. Elohim is the triune God. Okay? And so it's like he can't not be these things. And so, yes, please, please help me to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to see. Help me to hear. Help me, help all of us to be able to receive, Father. We just thank you that you do. Even today. Like, I know that the tanks, it's like, oh, it's getting, like, it's just full. And this is such a mystery of being able to lean into your strength, lean into your power, lean into your wholeness, lean into your discipline, lean into your provision, lean into your peace, your safety, to your promise, a harvest of peace. Mm-hmm. And I have no words except to say, I don't know, but we choose you. Mm-hmm. We choose you. And even when we can't choose you, help us to help us, mm-hmm. because we look at the stuff around us and we instantly go to it like my dog this morning chasing the bunny. You know, it's like I can't stop myself, but you can. And I just thank you that you never leave us, that you are always beside us. We just ask for more of you. Thank you today for each.